give us a sense of the studies that you did and what did you find?
Well, the first studies that came out were back in the early 90s, where people showed that taking 20 grams of creatine monohydrate loaded muscle. By that, there was an increase of about 30% in the muscle concentrations. In 1996, they showed that 3 grams led to similar results after 1 month. And for most people, we're talking about being on this, for a very long period of time as we age. We became interested in the late 90s and showed that the levels were very low in patients with muscular dystrophy. And also, our favorite group that have muscle dysfunction are the elderly, myself now being part of that group. And we and others have shown that there is a decline in muscle mass as we get older, partially related to mitochondrial dysfunction and other biochemical processes. So in 2003, we did a study where we put older adults, both men and women over the age of 65, on 5 grams of creatine every day or a placebo, and we trained them for a period of 4 months. And what we found is that the benefits from exercise training were quite a bit greater in those who consumed creatine monohydrate versus a placebo. We went on to see whether a weight loss supplement called conjugated linoleic acid allowed people to lose more fat and gain more muscle. And we found very similar things. That is, the creatine component of that led to an increase in muscle mass and strength. So our studies and work by a colleague of mine, Dr. Chilibeck and Dr. Darren Kandow, have really solidified the evidence that taking creatine when you're doing weight training substantially improves the gains that you get from weight training. And as you pointed out, that's really the mainstay of therapy for us to prevent this muscle loss called sarcopenia.
So can you tell us how many people were in the study and what some of the more exact results were?
Yeah, essentially we had, I can't remember the specifics of how many people, it was around 12 to 14 men and women in each group. And then half were, it was, actually it was 22, so half of them, around 10 within the creatine group, 10 within the placebo group of men and women. So a total of 20 on drug, 20 on placebo in both of our studies. So the numbers aren't as important if you get statistical significance. So statistical significance means that if you repeated the study, 100 times, 95 times, you're going to find the same results. And what we found is what people care about is muscle mass, and they care about strength, because those are the things that are compromised as we get older. So we put people on a very fancy machine, which measures exactly how strong your leg is. And we also put people into what's called a DEXA scanner, which is the gold standard to see how much muscle mass. And we're looking at about 2 kilograms or so, depending males and females. Men tend to gain a little bit more than women, of lean body mass, which is predominantly muscle that were gained on those who are taking creatine. And the leg strength was about 10 to 15% better when they exercise trained with the creatine versus the placebo.
Okay. Now, what about people who take it and do other types of exercise but not weight training? Does it help them as well?
Yeah, the benefits are less apparent in terms of increasing, for example, VO2 max if you're doing endurance exercise. However, as we get older, you're still going to get benefits to bone and to muscle, so it won't hinder the benefits that you get from doing aerobic training. And we strongly suggest that all adults do a combination of both weight training and endurance training, because you get the benefits in terms of your body composition and your strength from the weight training, and your VO2 max, your mitochondrial function from the endurance training.
Generally speaking, the recommended amount of exercise without specifying is 150 minutes a week. I keep seeing studies saying, any amount helps, 10 minutes. So how much strength training in terms of time put in do you have to do in order to see the benefits of this?
Yeah, most of our studies are done with what's called a circuit set. So, for example, if you're doing some bicep curls and then you're doing, some crunches, and then you're doing some leg exercise and you go through that circuit 3 times. What we're looking at is each one is called a set. And the repetitions, we're looking for anywhere from 8 to 12 repetitions. And by that, we mean by the time you've finished, it's getting pretty hard and it's hard to do any more repetitions. That sort of a intensity tends to give people the optimal benefit in terms of the strength training. I would recommend, and we always start with once per week, but ideally we're looking at three times per week. And to go through a reasonable circuit set, you're going to be spending about 20 minutes three times per week. But that small investment, in addition, obviously, to your cardio, which should be, you know, 3 to 4 times per week at moderate intensity, is going to give you the optimal benefit, both in terms of lifespan. You know, regular exercise gives you about 4-year lifespan extension, but health span, I think, is even more important, and that is prevention of that disability, keeping your legs strong so you can get out of a chair, climb stairs, you know, pick up your grandchildren, pick up your groceries. These are really important benefits that we get more from the weight training, and then that sort of, you know, 4-year extra lifespan extension is more from the cardio or the endurance training. So an investment of 200 minutes a week is really optimal for middle-aged and older adults.
I know it's available in powder and it's available in gummies. What do you recommend? Does it matter? And does it matter what time of day you take it, whether there's food?
Good question. So the studies really, you know, didn't time it with respect to food. When we did our studies, we said, look, you know, just take your dose every day. In the older adults, as I mentioned, we did 2 studies. That was 5 grams per day. And we used muscle biopsies to clearly show that at the end of 4 and 6 months, respectively, we got to the maximal level in muscle and we maintained it for that time period. So taking more is definitely a waste. In 1996, it was clearly shown that 3 grams a day for a month in younger individuals totally loads muscle. So do you need 5 grams as we get older? Possible. We haven't dropped down to 3 to confirm, but it may be that there's almost a bit of a resistance in muscle to creatine, much in the way in which there's a resistance to protein, which is why older adults need a little bit more protein. So certainly 5 we know for sure is going to load muscle. What type? We've always used a powder form. And, you know, this is the powder that we've used in our studies. It's called CreaPure. This is a good manufacturing processed creatine from Germany. Most of the creatines now in North America are of good quality without any impurities. Now, the real controversy comes when people were trying to sell liquid. Creatine is very unstable in liquid and it converts to creatinine. So anyone out there who's trying to buy a liquid these days, don't waste your money. It is complete garbage and healthcare fraud. And I can't believe that some of these are still being sold. In Canada, the biggest healthcare fraud, which I talked about a few months ago, are creatine gummies. There is a creatine gummy that's being sold for $39. It even has a natural health product number on the front. In a gummy, there's water. Water converts creatine into creatinine and it's useless. Not to mention this tiny gummy that I have in my hand weighs 1 gram and they're claiming that there's 2.5 grams of creatine dissolved in this gummy. Creatine does not dissolve. You have to suspend it in a matrix like yogurt or something that's a little thicker. It will settle to the bottom of of apple juice or water. So you have to shake it up. So it cannot dissolve into a gummy. So don't buy gummies, don't buy liquid. If it's the pure powder that you mix in, or, you know, another example here, which, you know, in full disclosure, we came up with this and we started a company based on that. It's a powder punched into a crunchy tablet like a sweet tart. So, of course, it's dry. So dry is the only way to take your creatine, whether it's a powder, a crunchy tablet, or even capsules. But the capsules are more expensive, of course.
Okay.
Don't use gummies.
Okay, I think we have the lowdown, and I'll check back with you. I'm going to start doing it. We'll see how it works. Thank you so much, Dr. Mark Tarnopolsky.
You're most welcome. Have a great day.